Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the November 21 edition of Commodity Week. Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Chip Nellinger is here from Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois. And Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. There you can listen to all of our agricultural programming anytime you'd like, on demand. You can also find us as a podcast in Google Play, the iTunes Apple Store, along with Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, even the NPR One app. Let's begin with our normal question and answer session, which is just exactly what should we talk about today? Wayne Nelson.
Well, that's sort of hard to come up by, but one of the things we're looking at, it's very close, the next holiday is Thanksgiving. We always talk about the bears and bulls and what they eat for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And generally, each one gets one meal. The good one's going to eat turkey. So who's going to eat turkey at Thanksgiving, the bulls or the bears, and who's going to have it at Christmas?
Kurt Kimmel.
Boy, that's a tough one to follow. That's it's pretty good, Wayne. I don't want to talk about China. We've worn that out. But maybe the livestock sector. There's some excitement there and some longer-term price potential for these livestock producers.
And Chip Nellinger.
Well, I think two things, maybe corn specific, that we finally reached a level where we're seeing exports pick up a little bit. Had a couple of fresh announcements this week. And that kind of follows along with the normal season the last few years. This is the week that we put our low in before rallying into the end of the year and the start of the new year. I'm going with the seasonal the last 5 years. So hopefully we're close to a low in corn.
Oh, good news would be something we'd like to talk about. So let's talk. I'm not sure I thought demand was going to be good news, but why don't you do the seasonal and the demand both?
Well, I'm not saying the demand is good news. I think that prices are at a level that are at least competitive now. And, you know, we've seen, I think a little over 300,000 metric tons of corn sold this week to unknown and bounced back with a 31 million bushel export sales report this morning for corn. So I wouldn't say that it's on fire, but it's at least at a level that's starting to get attention in the world.
That is good news. Do you see the same thing?
I think the export sector is going to pick up. Traditionally, it doesn't pick up till after the first of the year. But also, too, Chip's dead on the seasonals. We're almost done with harvest for the most part. We're ready to go. The corn market fulfilled some downside objectives. If you remember that diamond formation we saw here just a month ago, almost there where we needed to be. There's a sloppy head and shoulders bottom. We've almost filled those downside objectives. We've got a 10-week cycle low due right in through here. So I think we're getting fairly close, and I don't think it's time to be bearish right here in the corn market.
You wouldn't be bearish if you're a farmer. What do you do?
Well, I think as a farmer, you continue to shop around for a good cash bid, watch this basis. I don't know necessarily I'd do a basis contract for an elevator. If you're wanting to do something, I'd just sell the cash grain yourself, get 100% of the money in your pocket, then re-own it yourself and kind of manage it that way, particularly on commercial stored grain. If you're trying to capture the carry, I think you got to look out there and try to do some hedging in the deferreds.
Is that because you're fearful that the basis will continue to get better?
I think it's going to stay somewhat steady, firm. It's probably going to weaken up here as we move a little further down the road on a pickup. End users are starting to accumulate what they need. Cash sales, or the end users buy the most at harvest across the scale. Some of these elevators are saying they've bought over 50% of the crop already, so they might have some needs met here as we go into 2020.
Todd, I'm scared to death of quality concerns and the storability of this crop. We continue to hear stories of people putting corn in their bins over 20%, thinking they can dry it down with air, going through some areas through their fields that are 28% and better. That doesn't keep. That looks for hot spots in the bin. We are scared of that. Being in the elevator business for many years, that is scary. We've talked to other people. The test weight's down. Low test weight corn does not store well. Low test weight corn also cracks and breaks easy and causes a lot of fines. A lot of fines cause hot spots and bins. So I want to sell this basis here now because it isn't going to store well. We get in, they go read their temperature cables, and by golly, they got some problems. And then we're going to have a lot of corn moving in probably the January, February time frame, and I would like to take advantage of these very, very strong bases. We're generally at 20 or 30 under here this time of year instead of 10 or 20 over. And if you look at that, that gives us the advantage of being able to sell it now, defer or go out and buy something where before we were giving up a lot of carry. We're not giving up a lot of carry if this basis goes away, and I think it's going to go away.
So your point is go ahead and sell it across the scale because basis is strong. You're not going to be able to store it. And there could be a futures pop that you're going to go ahead and make a sale, that you're going to go ahead and replace and try to catch that later.
I think that that's one of the things we're looking at. I think that basically you can go out there, you can use some of it. You might buy a call so you don't get caught on everything. You might sit back and wait. We can go down a little more here. If we go down a few more or dime or so, I might just go ahead and buy the March, May, or July futures.
I probably, at the table at least, in more in favor of a basis contract. To me, that's keeping it simple. I agree with all the basis. It's historically strong depending on where you're at. Eastern Corn Belt's way stronger than the Western, obviously. But I just like putting on a basis contract because if this is a real deal, and like Wayne said, we don't even have the rest of this crop harvested yet in the north, test weight issues, quality issues, that could be supportive to basis. And eventually, if this basis stays firm enough, it will catch fire on the futures and you will have a rally. And so I'm just kind of like the keep it simple, stupid type guy. Put it on a basis contract. We ward the rally or in basis and hope that somewhere this seasonal catches traction and we have a futures rally into the end of the year and then price the futures out later.
Okay, so all good for the producers who's hauling across the scale now, maybe even if they want to open up the bin door. However, for that corn that has gone into commercial storage, already paid for the storage or will when they get to the point that they make the sale, do they need to do anything there? Is there anything that they should do, or are they now locked in and just in a waiting game?
Well, I think to Wayne's point earlier, there is no carry in the cash market. The cash market is inverted. There's carry in the futures market. That's telling you move the bushels now. Most elevators will prorate your storage, so I think it still is valid if you have corn in storage, do the basis contract, stop the storage, and you still have upside potential via the futures part. You lock the basis in now, you stop the storage, and you still have upside via the futures market.
Chip is right. I mean, basically along the way, that's sort of what I said and maybe didn't explain it well. It's... like I say, we just feel that the basis is very, very tight now. We don't look for the basis to get any better than this down the road. And we think that farmers are going to be forced into selling poor storage corn that's not doesn't store well sooner than later. Now, that doesn't mean that after we get through the real burst of the poor quality corn, all of it isn't poor quality. Don't get me wrong, Todd. As we're looking there, there's a lot of decent corn and that is stored in storage. But what's left in the field is not good storage corn. Most of it has been damaged by freezing, late planting, and low test weight, and we're seeing a lot of that out there now. We're also saying, though, that we still like, even with our good stored corn, go ahead and do some basis levels, put it out under the May or July to price it, and go ahead from here.
Yeah, whether you do a basis through the elevator or do basis yourself, sell the cash and buy it back yourself, you still have downside risk. And in this atmosphere with the world economies and some of this rhetoric going on, you just don't want to do this and hope or think it's going to go higher. You still got to keep an eye on it and manage that position.
I think another thing I meant to mention earlier is a real unknown that none of us, has never happened before really, is this Illinois River situation this summer. They're going to, redo or repair the locks. Grain could move early as a result of that. And that's just a wild unknown in my opinion. And it says, hey, take the bird in the hand right now because basis is strong. We don't know once you get into early to mid-spring what that river situation is going to cause as far as basis movements.
Yeah, so the Illinois lock and dam system will be updated, I believe, closed in the month of June, if I remember correctly. I don't quite recall that. For at least a couple of months, the idea is that they'll get it done, hopefully, before we get to harvest season by the end of August. So I think they were thinking about 2 months. But that will cause some interesting basis plays. From what I've heard to this point, and we were in Belleville, Illinois, and they were concerned about that. Their thought was that they would get a pop in basis. Grain elevator guys that are along with us said, yeah, no, that's not going to be right. There'd just be a lot of corn coming around. It'll come around the curve, relatively speaking, and that it probably would not happen. So there's just a whole lot to have to worry about here.
But, too, you think of where the shortage is going to be. Actually, it's in the northeastern part of Illinois where you got a lot of the prevent plant and maybe some lower yields, too. So it's going to work its way through the system.
So we have to worry about that, try to figure out what to do with corn. Soybeans, I just don't know where you are at this point on soybeans and what farmers, you know, a lot of times they'll sell a great deal of it across the scale, but they'll still have probably half of the crop left to market at this point in time.
Well, seasonally, Todd, beans are strong the week of Thanksgiving. Going into that, we're going to see a little bit of a rally here. So we're going to sit tight at least into next week, a week from today or something, next Friday, something like that. If we need to have some cash flow, we might sell some then. But we are going to sit tight on our beans. We're not going to issue any sales until probably after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, beans have ever been sold, they've been put in storage or whatever, so now it's kind of a waiting game in through here. But you got to keep an eye on it, because once we get into the new year, we're losing our window here of China, for instance, because they're basically going to start sending the boats to the southern hemisphere. So if we lose that window, we have to count or bet on a dock strike, port strike, trucker strike, or something to get the market to move.
Well, I think the whole trade deal delay is a little bit negative. I'm more concerned in the beans because it's more technical in my mind. The funds had built up a long position. You're now under the major moving averages. They're starting to liquidate that. Whereas corn, they're already big shorts in corn, and you're at support levels. So in my mind, there could be a little bit of downside in beans. But I agree with Wayne. There's still uncertainty. The week of Thanksgiving, particularly the day before, is usually a strong day. And we just don't know about the rest of the growing season in South America or whether we're going to get China deal or not.
So your concern there is about the China deal and that the marketplace had built a lot of that in that early November thought that, well, we're going to get a deal, we're going to get it this month, we're going to get it in Chile, or at least we're going to get it in December, and now it's starting to roll back out.
Yeah, exactly. It's been, you know, as it has been all along, we've seen that, what, four or five times where we've got a deal, it's great, 6 weeks later, there's no deal, it falls apart. Same thing this time. And yeah, I think you probably explained that pretty well. I think that there was a lot of optimism built in to prices. It doesn't mean they can't put it back in, but we're starting to leak some of that premium back out. And now the funds, with the moving averages, above us, are more liable without bullish news to sell into the end of the month and into the year. So that's my bigger concern longer term in beans.
Early on, we were concerned about the South Americans not being able to be planted. Actually happy, maybe, if you're in the United States. However, that looks like it's changing now as well, at least as they're getting further into their season.
Well, they're getting close to average. You got to remember last year they got in kind of record early and got an early start on it, so they're back to square one. The key is the weather. The weather pattern's a little bit more favorable. They're not in the heart of their growing season yet. They still have 30% of the crop to put in some areas and more as you move into Argentina. So there's a lot of growing season in front of us in the southern hemisphere. To add to the technical picture, too, a little bit through here, we had a little bit of a head and shoulders top. As Chips mentioned, we're below those moving averages. January beans need to hold $9. That's the 62% retracement level back down to the September low. If not, $8.90 is sort of that downside head and shoulders objective in the January futures.
What's your best set of advice for soybeans that are in commercial storage, if there are any at this point?
For commercial storage, I think it's hope that we get phase one done and we can get a little pop out of that. Don't overhold when we get phase one. If we can get 20 to 30 cents up, sell.
So you just said hope's not a strategy, but we've got some hope here yet. So you must have some reason to feel like there's, at least for a small portion or a portion of your crop, that this is worth waiting for.
Oh, I do. I think that we're getting to the point when China invited us to come back over there, and their liaisons made the comment that, no, it isn't all off the table. No, it isn't all bad. It isn't like that. We just hope that our government sort of feels it's not off the table and that we are willing to deal and get something done for this. I think with the election coming up, with the impeachment proceedings and everything like that, we could sure use a win for this here. And I hope that we don't get too hard-nosed in this negotiations and we can move something forward ahead for the American farmer, because we really do need a break. We've seen so many things about bankruptcies. We've seen so many things about talking about hard finances coming in here and whatever. And it's time that we see something good come out that tells us and gives the farm a little hope going into the new year. You know, there one thing, you know, we saw Informa's numbers, and boy, they're big for next year. We need a little hope to raise those prices up a little bit and give us a chance to hedge some of the 2020 crop.
Yeah, this phase one needs to be inked out fairly quickly, because if you go back, we had one big broad package. It didn't work, so they tried to break it down to just try to agree on something to get to work. If we can't get phase one here fairly quickly, it's going to be forever. And secondly, the timing on it needs to be quickly, because like we mentioned before, the Southern Hemisphere is going to come online. If there is good news in phase one, it's going to be the 2020 crop.
Well, it seems like there are many complicating factors within the Chinese trade agreement potential that have not been there up until about the last month and a half or so. The South China Sea has come up. Hong Kong has become a problem as well. And the Chinese seem not to be in line with what the president feels like they should be importing, or at least inking and saying, yes, we will buy $40 million or $40 billion worth of goods. They're much lower than that, or at least that's what I think we're hearing in the news.
Yeah, there's a lot of those issues there, and logically, I can understand their point. You want a free market, right? Why force them to buy a certain amount when that might be above market price? It you know, I was thinking this morning, it's uncanny that and frustrating that, you know, we've got Republican control and they're supposed to be free marketers, and we haven't had the freest markets in the world. We had freer markets under the Democratic Party. It's very, very frustrating. And so I would balk too if I were China, but that doesn't mean there's not a middle ground. And also, if they know they need pork, if they know they're going to need some beans, maybe they need some ethanol and corn, maybe they're quietly buying it already on these breaks that you're seeing. And so we'll see if it gets panned out. And I think to add to another thing that I've kind of been on record and been wrong so far, I think that, which whenever I go on record, it seems like I'm wrong, but I just cannot believe that bean yields won't be cut in January. I couldn't believe they weren't cut, in November. It just is beyond reason in my mind, hearing producers who have finished, their total bean acreage. It just does not make sense to me that we're within four bushels last year. Either they've overstated last year, or they've got more to cut on this year, or a combination of both.
So just a couple of things there. If they're buying quietly, they haven't shipped yet, and that's not shown up right in the marketplace. So we're still waiting for that to come. They'll have to come soon, as you happened to mention, Kurt, that otherwise they'll turn their attention to South America.
Yeah, there's a lot of timing issues here. Plus, too, there's a lot of beans moving under the radar. This container market's just huge, and I think they're still getting quite a bit of the beans under the radar. But we just got to get something going here, because we're just losing that time window, as you mentioned. But it's just not free trade, but it's fair trade. China, man, they had tariffs and a lot of add-ons to our products going in there. And so we're trying to counter that and try to get rid of it all on both sides. Then we can get something done.
Just for clarification point, I think the tariffs have been lifted on about 10 million metric tons of potential imports of soybeans to China. And when I mentioned that they're still behind. They have not gotten close yet to that point. That was something they agreed to, or thought we had an agreement on. I don't know whether that was in September or early October, but still coming at this point. We're still just not quite there yet. And now I think we have to start thinking about the 2020 growing season and what the end of this year, a lack of tillage across a large part of the Midwest, might mean. And maybe you can go back and talk a little bit about some of those projections that you've seen so far are telling us.
Well, Informa says we're going to have 94.4 million acres of corn. That's just about 5 million more acres than what we're looking at for this year, and we seem to still have a tremendously large carryout. We have got to break through on something. We're having farmers and everybody try to write their congressmen everything about the ethanol with the cutback and the stuff given to the small refiners. There was sort of reneging of what was promised to the farmers on that deal. It's not very happy. But the whole thing coming down to it is, where, unless somebody has a problem production next year, are we not looking at a lot more bushels of corn in the world?
Last year we were late getting the crop out and it was extremely wet. And the idea was we're not going to have these corn acres because we couldn't get them in, but we got them in. And so I don't know if the weather pattern matters a whole lot, but okay, go with the baseline, go with some of these private guys, 94, 95 million acres. But in that baseline report, their average cash price is 340. How are you going to buy all those corn acres if you're only going to get 340 for it?
Yeah, to Kurt's point, this past week we hit contract lows. First time, what I think it was 393 or something like that in the December 20 corn. So that's right. Economics will still work. And even if our acres are up here, maybe worldwide that curtails it a little bit. You know, price will still win in the end. But, 2020, corn and beans both have to be on the radar screen there. On any rallies into the end of the year or into the new year, you really have to keep a close eye on the 2020.
Tell me a little bit about the livestock sector and demand and how you see that playing out.
True feed use is huge. I mean, we got record pork. We got cattle going on through here, poultry. We're seeing heavier weights come into play in through here. We're seeing a lot of tonnage around and through here, so the feed consumption is relatively high. Even though feed usage category is miscellaneous, the true feed usage is there. These cattle guys saw these fats run to 125. That pencils out fairly good for them. When you look at the deferred hogs into the summer, they're $30 premium to compare it up front and through here. So it looks very promising to at least be able to pay some bills. If you're speculating on this Chinese demand, pork demand in the summer, the June hogs had a perfect head and shoulders top. We broke out to the downside on news. They're buying chicken instead of pork. And so that collapsed the market here down to some downside price objectives. So this week's lows might be an entry as a speculator to try to capture some Chinese news next summer.
So I do want to follow up on some of that, because the Chinese in this past week have agreed that they will buy more poultry from the United States. Of course, African swine fever, ASF, has been a problem there. I don't know how quickly they're going to be able to repopulate their herds. Do you have a better handle on what demand for red meats in that country might look like and what that means at least to the refrigerated livestock sector or that part of the United States meat that might be exported to this country?
Well, that's a tough one. That's a good question. As far as live, they've already started the Danish buying a lot of breeding stock from the Danish. So they're moving some livestock in from other countries to start that repopulation process. As far as live, Smithfield Food, the great pork robbery, they've already started moving carcasses. I think they've worked out the transportation issue. But the fear is, though, the Southern Hemisphere, they're investing a lot of money in the Southern Hemisphere, and that can be a competitor.
So that would be out of Brazil and or Argentina both?
Correct. Yeah, there was a lot of, I can't say a lot, but there was a good volume of beef deals inked here in the last 30 to 45 days.
Just for a news item within that, as you mentioned, the Smithfield plants have been reconfigured for the export market to China, so they're not making the carcass cuts in the same form that they have in the past.
And even on the feed side, Tyson has made sure their feed ingredients are in compliance with the Chinese.
Let's close out things. We'll get a final word from each of you, I think. We'll start, I'll get a final word, but this may be your final word. You may have something else, Wayne Nelson. So which place will be the bull and which place will be the bear for the holiday season?
Well, I actually think, unfortunately, the Bears are going to eat at Thanksgiving. And I think that hopefully we're going to see a rally into the end of the year with some good things happening, and the Bulls are going to eat at Christmas.
Of course, Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities. He's in Normal, Illinois.
If you look at the corn chart, the low we made on 9/9/19 is good.
It's the year of the nine, I take it, in that case. Is that right? That's what he's been going with all year long. Have you consulted, by the way, your favorite weather people?
I've got that on my desk, and I'm going to be doing an in-depth study on that here as we go into these winter marketing meetings. But it's kind of just a ho-hum winter so far, and spring looks to be somewhat favorable getting in.
Well, maybe we can talk about it at the All Day Ag Outlook, which we just scheduled. That's on the third day of March. It's a Tuesday. Let's wrap up our final comment for the day. Any closing comment from you, Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing?
Well, probably nothing original. I would agree with what Wayne said. I think that you go with the seasonal, and the seasonal says for the last 5 years, even 10 years and longer, you're going to rally corn into the end of the year. You're at a value area. And let's throw a little hope in there that we get some Chinese trade deals done. And our exports on beans have been pretty good. So I think you be a little bit patient, but be ready to sell a rally into the new year.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may listen to the whole of the program anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. And I'll encourage you this week to visit a different website, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. There at the top of the page, you'll find, as it cycles through the different panels, a link to the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. I'll be on the road the week of December the 16th with the agricultural economist from here on campus. I hope you can join us as well. The cost is just $80. We feed you at the end of the morning. It's just a half-day event. We'll be in Mount Vernon and Springfield, Peoria, DeKalb, and Champaign. Again, that's the week of December the 16th. All the details are right there at the Farm Doc Daily website. You can visit and ask questions of Scott Irwin, Todd Hubbs, Jonathan Kappas, Gary Schnitke, and many more. Again, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu to register. The cost is just $80. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.